You know, last week we spoke about how the trials in our life can really cause much anxiety, right? And really reflect upon our witness and our ability to really effectively witness for Jesus Christ. It affects us, these trials, don't they? And we talked about how God desires to give us a peace that surpasses all understanding, a peace in the midst of these trials, a peace in the midst of whatever pain that we may be going through. And although contrary to popular Christian opinion today, we kind of looked at the scriptures and realized that, you know, peace, the peace of God is not an absence of conflict or opposition. We saw that peace isn't about our feelings and if it feels good in our heart or not, you know. That's not really the will of God. We don't know for sure. And as Christians today, we'll often say, as we mentioned, oh, you know, it feels good. I have a peace in my heart. You know, we really need to be careful about those things. And why, Joseph? Well, because our heart is made of flesh. Notice Jeremiah here says that the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? It isn't about what we feel in our hearts. No. It's what God is telling us. You see, Colossians 3:15, the first part says, "And let the peace of God rule in your hearts." We talked about this when we went through Colossians. As I shared with you before, this word rule here is in the original language, it means just that, to rule, like an umpire at a baseball game, right? And when that feeling comes sliding into your heart or your mind, all of a sudden, there's the umpire making the call. God just saying, you know what? Safe or out. And it's according to the rule book, right? There is no in between. It's safe or it's out. It's either a fair ball, right? The ball's hit, pow, and all of a sudden, is it going to be fair or what? Foul. Fair or foul. And we have to wait for it to drop. Right? Foul ball. Or fair. Play on. And everybody goes crazy. And so, you know, this is the idea here. And it's according, of course, to the rule book. We don't get to make our own rules, folks. Sorry. It's according to the rule book. The Word of God. Not the Word of Joseph. You know, or the word of my best friend, or some professional somebody out there. No, the Word of God. But Joseph, you know, some things in life just aren't so clear. And I understand that, it's true. But just wait. Just wait. Those things that are popped out there, they will fall eventually. And when that ball falls, you will see. For sure, depending on the Word of God, depending on, of course, the nature of God that we find through the Word, whether that thought and that feeling and that thing that doesn't seem so clear is fair or foul. Just wait upon the Lord, you see, in those times. But eventually, it will be known. God, truth, and time. Notice what John says in 1 John 4:6. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who does not, he who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of what? Error. You see? Of error. The Apostle Paul, he said this to 2 Timothy 3:16. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. And is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness. You see, the Holy Spirit cannot remind us of that which we have not heard. It's the scriptures, you see, that make things clear to you and to me. And that is why we need to read our Bibles, okay? Every day if possible. So we can be reminded, so we won't be deceived. So we will know, hey, according to the rule book, this is fair, this is foul, this is in, out of our minds. We know that the best way to know a counterfeit is by studying the original, right? And by doing so, by studying the original rule book, we'll know what's false and what's true. And by doing so, you'll strengthen your faith and be able to fight against the lies that would try to deceive you by the knowledge of the Word of God. You see, it's important. 2 Corinthians 10:3 says, "For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty in God for pulling down strongholds." Verse 5, "Casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ." We need to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ, it says, in every aspect of our lives. Compare that thought to Scripture. Where are those thoughts coming from? From God? From Satan? From our flesh? From this world? Where are they coming from? Oh, I have a peace. Well, that's wonderful, you have a peace, but where's that thought from? Where is it coming from? If we know God's Word, then we will know God. And if we know God, then we will know what is contrary to His nature and His perfect will for our lives. And when we realize that that thought or that feeling is not of God, we need to grab it. And we need to cast it down. And we need to step on it. And we need to walk away and don't turn back. Okay? Instead of meditating and dwelling, maybe, and trying to justify wanting to do what your flesh wants to do. Now, that sounds easy enough, but is it? It's not, is it? And why isn't it so easy? It sounds easy, but it's not so easy. And the reason why is because, well, as Paul explains, the reason why we continue to struggle, as we see here in Romans chapter 7, 18, and so on, Paul explains why. For even Paul himself struggled. Notice, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh." You see? In our flesh. "Nothing good dwells, for to will is present with me, but how to perform what is good I do not find." 19, "For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice." The things I don't want to do, those are the things I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but it is sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. Verse 22, "For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man." Verse 23, "But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members." So notice the problem that Paul's talking about here, very simply, is our flesh, okay? Which represents our sinful nature. And so understand, we are not sinners because we sin. No. We sin because we are sinners. That's the reality. We're born with this disease, if you will, called sin. And as long as we are in this flesh, we will struggle with sin. As long as we're in this flesh, we will never be sinless. But that doesn't mean that we can't do our very best to sin less and less and less. Okay? Well, just as Paul described his inner struggle between the spirit and his flesh, here's a very classic example. This Native American elder once described his own inner struggles by this classic example. It says, inside of me, there are two dogs. One of the dogs is mean and evil. The other dog is good. The mean dog fights the good dog all the time. Okay? And then, when asked which dog wins, he reflected for a moment and replied, the one I feed the most. The one I feed the most. So understand, that black dog, our flesh, if you will, eats every day, all the time. In fact, you know, we have to just pull that dog back all the time, don't we? It's always eating. Our thoughts, our desires, our prejudices, our criticisms are always there for our flesh to eat. And it usually gets in a bite or two before we even realize it. And then we have to pull it back like a dog on a leash, right? And it's over there and it's eating something. Hey, what are you doing? Get over here. And we have to pull it back. And it's always doing something it's not supposed to do. Get back. But guess what? It gets a few bites in before we have a chance to pull that dog back, right? That's our flesh. It's eating all the time before we have a chance to pull it back. Now, the white dog, our spirit, if you will, on the contrary, is very picky. The very picky eater. He won't just eat anything. No way. Very picky. He will only eat the best. Okay, the Word of God, that's good stuff right there. That's a healthy, spirit-filled diet that the white dog in us, our spirit, really loves. Okay, worship and fellowship. You know, the things we have to really take an effort to feed this spiritual dog, if you will, in our lives. Now, that brings up a question. Are we spiritually weak? Has our flesh been getting the best of us? There are many different factors, perhaps why. But perhaps there's a possibility that we just aren't eating enough. Okay? And so, you know, Jesus, he said this in John 14:26. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, he will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all the things that I said to you. You see, if we want the Holy Spirit to remind us of God's Word, then we first need to hear God's Word, obviously. And if we want to be strong in the Spirit, then we need to feed our spirit. We can't be so ignorant to think that just because I had a good meal on Sunday, that I will be strong on Wednesday. Right? If you eat a good meal today, you think you're going to be strong on Wednesday? Or even Tuesday? Later on tonight, you're going to be hungry, won't you? We have to keep feeding our spirit if we want to be strong. This unknown U.S. Marine said this, the same kind of idea. Two natures beat within my chest. One is cursed, the other is blessed. The one I love, the other I hate. The one I feed will dominate. And it's so true. I cannot encourage you enough to have a daily feeding of the Word of God. As I mentioned, our flesh is eating whether we like it or not. So really, the battle is to try to starve out our flesh the best we can and feed our spirit the most we can. So that when that battle begins, and it will, because we battle all the time, we will be victorious. Victorious over our flesh. Now, what's the opposite of victory? Defeat, isn't it? Defeat. And notice this next slide. And there are too many defeated Christians out there, right? There are too many defeated Christians out there who love to play the blame game. Okay, what do I mean by that? It's everyone's fault but my own. I'm a miserable witness for Jesus Christ because Satan's attacking me. Or the world is constantly tempting me, or my flesh is always getting the best of me. You know, we're always blaming somebody. It's his fault. It's her fault. It's their fault. It's always someone else's fault but my own. Well, what do you expect? What do you expect? Of course these things are going to be tempting us. Of course there's going to be trials in our life. Satan will always tempt our flesh with the things of this world. But if we are being defeated, okay, because of trials and circumstances and people, whose fault is it, really? It's our own fault, you see. Listen, if you ever heard, or have you ever heard, of a gold medal athlete, okay? A gold medal athlete. Have you ever heard of somebody that has won the gold who has never, ever, ever trained in their life? They never train, okay? These athletes, imagine if they don't eat, if they don't sleep, if they don't train properly, think what's going to happen when they go to compete. They're going to be destroyed. They're going to lose, and they're going to lose bad. And they're going to be humiliated because they are not ready. And so will we if we're not ready. You see, in the same manner, we need to be prepared. If we are constantly being defeated, we have no one to blame but ourselves. Perhaps we're just being lazy, right? Like I said, there are too many defeated Christians out there playing the blame game. We need to be spiritually strong if we want to have victory over the spiritual battles that we face every single day. As I mentioned before, we will never be sinless, no. But we can always sin less and less. And how? By being ready, by feeding our spirit. You see, understand. The next slide here. The second we become a Christian was the second we went on Satan's hit list, right? He essentially puts a big target on us. And he begins to shoot these fiery darts, right, at us. And some of us have already been struck. Some of us have the mental, the emotional, and probably perhaps even the physical scars to prove it. Hey, we've been hit. So how do we defend ourselves against these attacks and overcome the wicked one? Well, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 16. Above all, take in the shield of faith, which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. Okay? So what are these fiery darts that Paul is referring to? Well, they're these fiery darts, blasphemous thoughts, unbelief, lust, sudden temptations to do wrong, or even thoughts that would keep us from doing right, to just name a few, okay? So in regards to them, we may observe these things. Number one, fiery darts come suddenly, don't they? You don't see, oh, you know, we saw them coming, we would run, right? We would hide, we would duck for cover. No, they come suddenly like arrows from a bow. Shoo, bam, right? Fiery darts, number two, come unexpectedly from different directions, like arrows shot suddenly from an enemy in ambush. We don't know where they're going to come from. Number three, fiery darts pierce and torment our soul as arrows would that are on fire when it hit their object. And number four, fiery darts set the soul on fire and ignite the worst passions as fiery darts would to the object which it strikes. Ignites, you see? And so Paul, he tells us here in verse 16, above all, taking on that shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And come in a few weeks on Saturday night, and Adam's going to talk more about this, okay? Now, Hebrews chapter 11, verse 1 says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for and the evidence of things not seen. So faith is that which we hope for. Our complete trust and confidence in God and the promises of His Word. It is here that we rely upon His gracious promises and aid. Hebrews 11, verse 6 says, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently, diligently, diligently seek Him. Okay? Do we believe? Well, I know that many of us believe, okay, and have a certain amount of faith. But the question is, how much faith do we have? Do we have a little shield of faith, right? And to the point where we're constantly trying to block and dodge those flaming darts that are coming from every direction with our little shield. Imagine, here we go. Here's my little shield, right? Ooh, 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 ooh. And all day long I'm trying to block those darts, right? Or do we have a big shield of faith, right? Like this pulpit. Go for it. Give me your best shot. You know what I mean? It's like we can quench those darts effortlessly if our shield of faith is really big. Okay? And if we've been suffering the sting of the enemy's fiery darts lately, we may want to, what? Increase our faith. But how do we increase our faith? Romans 10:17 tells us, so then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Devote yourself to the Word of God, folks. Faith is increased through the knowledge of God. Our spiritual growth comes through the study of His Word, the Bible. Okay? Now, how do you know if your faith is growing? Is it the lack of trials? Right? I'm sorry. But the enemy will continue to attack us. Even if we have a big shield, he's going to try to get in. He's going to continue to attack us. So how then will we tangibly recognize that our faith is growing? Well, Paul gives us a hint here in 2 Thessalonians 1:3. He says, we are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is fitting, because your faith grows exceedingly. Okay? Now, how can you tell, Paul? Well, notice, and the love of every one of you all abounds towards each other. So notice, there's this link. Faith is measured by the love that we have towards one another. But it's very difficult to love others when we are constantly trying to defend ourselves, isn't it? So, what must we do? How about, again, trying a bigger shield? You see, if our shield of faith is big enough, we can very easily defend ourselves and love others at the same time. But if we don't have a big shield, well, then we're constantly worrying about ourselves, aren't we? Trying to take care of ourselves, trying to defend ourselves, let alone trying to help anybody else. Okay, so this all works together. Remember what Satan said regarding Job? Remember the story? Satan said this in Job chapter 1, verse 10. Yeah, talking to God, he said, Have you not made a hedge around him? Okay, around his household, around all that he has on every side. You have blessed the work of his hands, and his possessions have increased in the land. And so we see Job had a lot of faith, right? Job had a lot of faith. It was so big that it not only protected him from Satan's attacks, but it also protected, notice here, his family and everything he owned. Okay? It's a lot of faith. Now, the only way Satan could get to Job was for God to allow Satan to. That's what we read in the story. Which tells us something else about our trials in life, doesn't it? If we love God, if we trust God, if we have a lot of faith in God, okay, yet we are still being attacked. What does that tell us? What does that mean? Does it mean you lack faith? No, not necessarily, no. It means that God, perhaps, is allowing these things to happen in your life. Okay? Now, do we have faith enough to believe that? Do we have faith to believe and to that this would be true? That God's allowing this? To realize that God's allowing these attacks and trials in my life to happen for my own good. For the perfecting of my faith, you see. Isn't that what James tells us? James 1:2, my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Verse 3, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. And verse 4, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete and lacking nothing. Okay? So the question is, do we believe this? Do we believe that God is sovereign? That means He's on the throne. He's in control. And when things are going wrong, He's not up there going, oh no, what are we going to do? No. We're down here going, oh no, what are we going to do? But God's in charge, you see? Now, what's the opposite of belief? Unbelief, right? Disbelief. Hebrews 3:12. Beware, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart. Okay? An evil heart of what? Unbelief and departing from the living God. Verse 13. But exhort one another daily while it's called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Okay? This is sin. It's serious. To prevent our hearts from becoming hardened with unbelief, we need to exhort one another daily, it says here. In the things of what? Of God. In the things of God. That's the key. Again, coming back to the Word and the importance of the Word. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 15 says, while it is said, today, if you will hear His voice. Remember, faith comes by hearing, right? You will hear His voice. Do not harden your heart as in the rebellion. 16, for who, having heard, they rebelled. Indeed, was it not all who came out of Egypt, led by Moses? 17, now with whom was He angry for 40 years? Was it not with those who sinned, whose corpses fell in the wilderness? Verse 18, and to whom did He swear that they would not enter His rest? But to those who did not obey. Verse 19, so we see that they could not enter in because of what? Unbelief, you see. We will not be able to enter into the promises and victories that God has for us if we don't believe. And our lack of faith will be evident by the lack of spiritual fruit in our life. You want to know? Be fruit inspectors, okay? Oh, Joseph, you're judging me. You're judging me. No, no, no. I'm not judging anybody. I'm just simply a fruit inspector. We're looking for fruit. Fruit. If there's no fruit, that tells us something, folks. Okay? Is there fruit in our life? And when you see someone who's lacking faith, well, you're going to see a lack of fruit in their life. Very simply. Okay? The lack of love, the lack of joy, the lack of peace, the lack of long-suffering and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. All the fruits that we're supposed to have by the Spirit. We'll be lacking those things. And it'll be very clear to see. Hebrews 11 verse 6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him, for he who comes to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. He really does want to reward you for your diligence in seeking after Him. And He will reward you for your diligent study in His Word, where we find God daily in prayer and in His Word. Now, do we want to please God? then we need faith. That's what it says. And if we want faith, then we need to hear the Word of God. And the more we hear the Word of God, the more we will know God. And the more we know God, the more we will be able to discern what is of God and what is not of God. Okay? You want to know if that peaceful feeling in your heart is of God or not? Then go to the Word. You see? Hebrews 4:12. For the Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of, notice here, soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intent of what? Notice, the heart. So notice here, very interesting, the division of soul and spirit. The soul, our mind and our emotions, that which is, of course, compared. That's us. That's our heart, our mind, our emotions, things we think about. That's our soul. That which is of us, okay? Compared to the Spirit, that which is of God, okay? And as Christians, we are to let the Word of God divide and decide which side those thoughts and intents of our heart are on. You see? The Word of God will divide, and you let that Word divide and decide. Is this of God or is this of me? You see? What is on our heart and our mind lately? Is it of God? Is it of ourselves? Bring it up against the knowledge of God found in His Holy Word. If it's still up in the air, like we said, and you're just not sure if it's fair or foul yet, what should you do? Well, just wait. Wait upon the Lord. That ball will fall eventually, and then you'll know. You'll see. If we are in His Word, if we are in prayer, then just wait. Just wait upon the Lord. He will show you in His perfect time, folks. Be anxious for nothing, the Word of God tells us, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, let your requests be made known to God. He's going to give us perfect peace. Okay? He's going to guard our heart and our mind from all the lies and the deceits. Jesus is a light this world, right? His Word is a light unto our path. All the promises of God are there for us, folks, if we would only hold on to them and trust them and believe in them. But it's our choice. It's our choice. Are we ready for the battle that's ahead of us? Because let me tell you, it's coming. It's coming. If you're not already going through a trial, one is on its way. And are you ready? Am I ready? We need to be prepared, folks. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. As we have been exhorted by your Word. Perhaps some of us are struggling. Perhaps some of us are finding ourselves being defeated, spiritually speaking. And we lack the fruits of the Spirit in our lives. We're running on empty. And we realize that. We're not diligently seeking you. Daily, we come on Sundays, sure, and we get fed, and we think that that's going to take care of us the rest of the week. But Lord, that's very religious. Just coming once a week. You love us. You want us to have a relationship with you. And so Lord, help us simply love you back and be diligent in spending time with you. Reading
learning and knowing you more and more. Praying, Father. Just simply spending time with you and loving you the way we ourselves would want to be loved. And would want the people that say they love us to want to spend time with us. It's no different. Lord, please, open our hearts to this understanding. So we know you want to bless us. You want to lead us into that promised land. But all these things, Lord, can get in the way. Our unbelief, our lack of preparation. So I pray, Lord, that you would help us. Be strong for you. Be effective witnesses for you, Lord. To give us that joy in the midst of pain. Or whatever else we may be going through. Only you can give us that, Lord. And so we look to you, the author, finisher of our faith, Lord. You're in charge, Lord. Help us submit to your perfect will. As we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. Arigatou gozaimasu.